Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits, episode 69. I'm John.
I'm Judy.
I'm Marlis.
And tonight we're going to be talking about three different scotches with that were aged in sherry casks, and we're calling it Swimming in the Sherry. My vote was for a cask of Amontillado, but only one of them has that, so we're not going to call it that.
Plus the whole... you know, walling people up alive.
Kind of a negative. Edgar Allan Poe, right?
Well, very literary, but...
Yeah, I love it.
But still.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite stories.
Good stuff.
Very scary.
So, we have the Delmore 12-year, which is... I can't read the label from here. It's very small print. The Delmore Sherry Cask Select, aged 12 years. We have the Glenfiddich... Single malt Scotch whiskey, our Amontillado sherry cask finish, also aged 12 years. And we have Edredour Caledonia selection, also aged 12 years. So I guess what are we going to start with?
Well, the one here.
Delmore.
So
the one on the left.
The one on the left.
Which you can't see.
Well,
they could look at the picture.
Well, and I'm sitting right next to it.
Yeah, so, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm a lot closer to it than you are. So the Delmore 12-year sherry cask is a 12-year-old Highland single malt finished in special sherry casks, balancing the nutty flavors of Oloroso with the sweet influence of rich Pedro Ximenez. So it's first matured in American white oak ex-bourbon barrels, and then... which gives it it's chocolate orange and spice notes. Mm-hmm. And then it's fully finished in casks that are previously held in a unique sherry. Can you tell I'm reading from the website? They say that the sherry was created especially for Delmore. It's a blend of aged Oloroso and rich sweet Pedro Ximenez. And the recipe was created to provide the perfect enhancement to their house style. The result is a stunning and elegant single malt, bursting in sweet fruit and decadent spice. I am so prepared. let's see.
As are we all.
As are we all. Mm-hmm. This is a weird weekend, I tell you. I just got back from a conference for 2 days. Like, literally, pretty much just got back. So I'm not... prepared at all. Really tired. So for the aroma, we should be detecting caramelized orange, ginger, and sultanas laced with honey. They say laced with it. Sounds like it's poison.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm getting something that's a little acrid, it's not bitey, like it's not a really strong alcohol aroma, but there's something there that's a little...
I wouldn't use the word acrid. Acrid sounds horrible, but I don't.
Well, no, it just means a little acidic, a little bitter.
Mm-hmm. But when people use the word acrid, it usually means something bad.
Well,
it's kind of like when you say odor, you know,
as opposed to aroma.
Aroma,
yeah,
or moist. People don't like the word moist either.
I don't mind it. Remember the picture of the little owls that were all wet and they were moist owlets?
owlets.
I thought that was pretty cute.
No,
I
don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. but thanks for telling me about
back
it.
Back to Delmore. Delmore, yeah.
Delmore. yes. So,
okay.
The palate, dark chocolate and crushed almonds with a dusting of cinnamon, which I should really love this because those are like basically three of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm. No, that's tasty.
It's definitely spicy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I take back acrid. It has just enough of a little bit of a bite of in a wine. I'd say it was tannins. I don't know what you call it in a whiskey, but
yeah, it seems
enough low notes that it's got some body to it. It's not too sweet. It's a very nice balance.
A little bit of a dry character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's 43%.
43. Yes, it's 43%. And it says the finish. We should be getting sweet mangoes, panna cotta, and lemon sponge cake. Now, I hope I would never have a non-sweet mango. I think that would be really horrible.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the last time I had panna cotta, so I don't even remember what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
And lemon sponge cake, I will assume...
Tastes like lemons.
Okay.
Sponge cake, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well...
and sponge cake.
And sponge cake.
Yeah.
not SpongeBob.
Not SpongeBob, no. SquarePants, or anything. You're just lemon sponge cake. But I don't know that I get that finish, but again, I'm not the person here with the best palate. So what do you guys think?
Mm.
If there's any lemon in there, it's pretty faint. I don't know. It might just be something to do with the dryness or the, I'm not sure what it is, but yeah, I'm not really picking up much lemon.
It's interesting because in the aroma, I got some dryness or some, you know, a little tiny bit of bitterness. And then, but when it's in my mouth, there's a lot of sweetness, a lot of kind of a dense texture. It kind of rolls around in your mouth and there's a lot going on there. And then for me, the finish is also a little bitter, a little, you know, I'm not getting lemon and chocolate at that point. I'm getting more, a little spice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's spicy. Okay. The finish for me is spicy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But none of those other things, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But I love the flavor.
It's very good. Yeah.
But you know how I'm a sucker for sherry cask finished.
I know.
Stuff. So, but no, I really like this one.
This is the new place where we like to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Dalmore bottle is beautiful. It's got little stag's head with the antlers. It's very, very picturesque.
That must be why the price point is what, $114 and 99 cents, and that's before the Washington taxes and fees. But it is a beautiful bottle. Yeah, it's one you would want to keep, but you just don't have room in your house to hold on to.
I use them for mouthwash.
Well, so do we.
Yeah.
But I've been using the same ones for a while.
You have to
maybe
throw them out eventually.
You know, move on to the new.
To rotate our mouthwash bottles.
That's right. In fact, I need to refill my mouthwash bottle right now. Yeah. So maybe it's time. Well, this won't be empty yet. When this is empty, I will. Which hopefully won't be too quick since it's $114.
Yeah.
And we can switch that out. All right. So let's move on to
Glenfiddich.
Okay. Glenfiddich. Let's see. Glenfiddich 12 Amontillado Sherry Cask. That's right. So it's a special edition Glenfiddich 12. It was finished in Amontillado casks, which is, Amontillado is a drier sherry, so it's less commonly used for Scotch maturation. We paid, I think it was $57 for this bottle before taxes. It's 43% ABV. On the nose, it says the sherry is prominent on the nose with a strong candied fruit note, perhaps strawberry.
No.
Despite its prominence, the sherry note is fairly refined. Nothing sulfurous or heavy.
Well, I wouldn't want my...
What do you guys think?
It smells sulfurous.
It's got a little more of a bite in the aroma than the Dalmore did. It doesn't smell as sweet.
Yeah, that's. I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, it's not as
sweet. So it's more of a citrusy dried fruit for me than like strawberries or raisins.
Yeah, and it also has less spice on the nose as well. So it's a little bit plain.
It's not unpleasant
sweeter,
at all.
Yeah.
No, no, not unpleasant.
But it's
at
just
all.
But it's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you smell the sweet one and you smell the not sweet one, not so sweet one,
it's like whoa, what happened there? Yeah.
So the taste is for the taste description I have, the sherry is less prominent with more of the standard Glenfiddich apple or pear and honey notes. Fairly sweet, but no more than the traditional 12. Usual thin mouthfeel, this person describes it as. And the extra 3% alcohol doesn't seem to be helping there. Let's see.
This one is a little more burny on the mouth. And now it definitely doesn't have that same sherry cask flavor that I would like to have.
Right.
It's still good.
Yeah.
But when I'm expecting a sherry cask finish, that's not the flavor I would normally.
I'm getting, the sherry's coming through for me, but just as in the description I was just reading, it does feel thinner on the mouth. It doesn't feel as oily or full.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't get the same kind of fruity, you know, mango-y taste that I did with the Dalmore. It's good, but Amontillado is evidently a much drier sherry, which I did not know until today.
Yeah.
That was a revolution to me because I think when I was, you know, young, if anyone served sherry, it was that really sweet cream sherry, and I thought it was pretty disgusting. And then when I went to Scotland, they had dry sherry, and it was like, oh, this is actually very pleasant. But, you know, mixed with whiskey, it doesn't have the same effect as some of the other sherries.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's just, it's much more like a normal Glenfiddich with a little bit of a sherry overcast. Not overcast. That's not the right word.
No, that's what it looks like outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It is overcast.
You're thinking about the weather.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Now, what's the finish?
Finish, it says a malty flavor dominates the finish, with the sherry note firmly in the background, with a fairly short finish.
Yeah, yeah.
It does have a short finish.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter much.
Mm-hmm. And I think that might be just part of the dryness of the sherry. It just doesn't have the same effect on a scotch that, you know, the sweeter ones do.
Yeah.
I just think the whiskey must be having more fun these days, though, because, you know, it always was in bourbon barrels, which should be fun, but now it's in all sorts of other, finished in all sorts of other wines and tubs and things. It's like, it's got to be more exciting to be a barrel of whiskey, so to speak, than it used to be.
Or a distiller.
Yeah. Could you hand me the...
That's interesting.
Edradour?
I sure will.
Please excuse my coughing. I've got a throat thing. I'm not contagious.
I don't think they care if you're contagious.
No. Oh, that's true. Well, I didn't want you to think I was wantonly exposing John and Judy to disease either. You know, that wouldn't be fun. Okay, this is Edradour, which has been traditionally one of our favorites. This is their Caledonia selection. It's 12 years old, natural color, unchill filtered, and it is...
I think it was 46.
Yeah,
46% ABV, which is a little more. Okay, that doesn't help. And it's finished in Oloroso, which is, again, a sweeter sherry, so this should be probably more like the Dalmore than the Glenfiddich. Mm-hmm. In the discussion that I was reading about this, they said, oh, yeah, you know, Edradour is one of the distillers that still uses a worm tub condenser. And that made me a little nervous. It's like, what? Why are there worms involved in my whiskey?
No, it was just a worm tub.
Yeah, even so.
It didn't say it was a tub full of worms.
You know, if the worms have, previously been bathing in it, again, I'm not quite sure. So I looked that up.
Maybe it was a warm tub and they misspelled it on the
side. Oh, yeah, I don't think so. No. They were very clear. So it turns out that in distilling, a worm tub is a type of condenser that uses the long coiled copper pipe, the worm, submerged in a large tub of cold water to cool and condense spirit vapors back into liquid. So this is what, you know, when you think about the moonshiners and everything, you know, that curved copper, that's what that is. That's the worm involved, which I find reassuring. So, okay, back to Edradour.
Yeah.
It's not tequila.
Yeah, a whiskey named after Dougie McLean's eponymous song, Caledonia, evidently, which warms the heart of expat Scots everywhere. The initial maturation is in ex-bourbon casks, and it's followed by an Oloroso finish of 4 to 5 years. So, the nose. There should be candied fruits, hazelnuts, charred oak, along with
There's a bitch in it?
No, a bit of orange zest. Try saying that several times after two drinks. Also, just a whiff of honeyed porridge. Oh, I love porridge. Jammy apricots and leather, accompanied by trace evidence of gunpowder. Now, I don't know how many of you have been licking gunpowder, but I haven't. So I'm taking that sort of on trust. Again, not contagious. Oh, that smells good.
It does.
Now, we have to confess, we have had the Caledonia before and really liked it. So we may be a bit prejudiced here. But
yeah.
John gave it to me for Christmas.
Oh, so good. Okay, so this is a nice smell.
Aroma.
I've lived with cats too long, you know, where they get a good smell and they do that face, you know.
Yeah.
Fortunately, you can't see that, which is good.
You looked like a rat when you did that.
Well, okay. I'm sure rats would do a similar
thing. Not near as acute, though.
See, I don't get any bitterness or any when I'm smelling this. Okay, for taste, relatively thick mouthfeel, ginger, burnt toast, black pepper, dark chocolate, mushrooms, interesting, almonds, and leather, raisins too. Okay.
Okay. yeah.
I just think it smells so good.
It is.
I would say this is probably the richest and possibly sweetest of the three. It's got a lot of complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really tasty.
Okay, I'm going to go back and just revisit the Delmore just for a moment. Similar, but it doesn't have the kind of oily mouthfeel that the Edredauer does. So in terms of, you know, heaviness, you'd go Glenfiddich, Dalmore, Edredauer. Do we agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, with the Glenfiddich being the lightest and the Edredauer being the fullest, I would say.
Now, it's interesting, though, when it's kind of just rolling around in your mouth, you know, you take a swig and just let it sit there for a minute. I'm wondering if the Dalmore doesn't have a little more fruit. Maybe not, but it had... this is all excellent for lung or throat conditions. I'm just enjoying this very much.
Marissa's cough syrup.
I know. Okay, the finish. Medium to long, slightly drying, red fruit, blackberries, and oak spices. Now, I'm not, again, oak spices.
I do have a spicy finish.
Mm-hmm, I'm
not sure about it being oak.
Yeah, and it does linger a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely has a nice long finish.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And the price point on this one was also $114?
Yeah, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And we are very afraid of the tariffs because,
yeah,
no dear kidding. God.
We might have to do one...
I know, scotch, we may be tasting one scotch.
We'll have to chip in for
something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
This does have a nice long finish, though. You know, your tongue is still, after, you know, 20, 30 seconds, your tongue is still, that was kind of nummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
No, that's good.
In terms of color, I think the Edredauer is the darkest. Mm-hmm. Dalmore next. Mm-hmm. Glenfiddich is the lightest.
Yeah.
Someone compared the Edredauer to Builder's Tea, which, not being a big tea drinker, I'm not sure. But I think that means, like, Builder's Tea is tea that is kind of set in the pot for a while and gotten really dark and steeped, you know. Yeah. And then the builders pour milk in it and drink it strengthy.
Yeah.
But not being a builder, that's the best I can do on it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have a tendency to leave my tea bag in, so...
Oh, yes. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Judy's version of Builder's Tea.
Yeah, I know. I know. Okay. Now we're going to try just a little bit of water in some of these to see if.
I'm going to need some more Dalmore.
One, two, three. Okay.
I was doing a lot of comparing the Dalmore and the Caledonia, so I was running a little short.
He was enthusiastic in his work.
That's right.
Okay. I could have a little more. These are all tasty. I would not, if someone offers you any of these, say, why, thank you. That would be lovely. And again, when we put a little water in, we're talking drops, not like, you know, half an ounce or anything. Well, also,
we only have a little bit
of scotch.
We don't have a regular pour.
Trying not to become completely incompetent by the end of the podcast.
I'm already incompetent.
All right.
Not because of drinking, but.
Yeah, no, just general
stress. Just in general, yeah.
Okay, so Dalmore with a bit of water.
Definitely a lighter nose. Mm-hmm. It's not. Now I'm only getting sweetness on the nose.
I don't think it improves the scotch at all. I think it's, you know, it's a nice, tasty mouthful, and the water just kind of dilutes it, so it seems weaker. And again, I didn't put a lot in there, but excuse me, it sort of negates the really oily, full mouth feel a bit, and it's just not as fun. That would be my theory. Which is mine.
Yeah, the spice is kind of beaten back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a little plainer, simpler, but still tastes good.
Okay, and the Glenfiddich in the Amontillado, which again does not mean you have to wall up your best friend in alive in a cave. That would be bad.
For the love of God, Montresor.
I know.
I've been waiting to say that.
Mm-hmm. Now, why, what's his name, didn't just start kicking out the bricks as soon as he saw what was happening? I don't know.
Yeah, you know. I don't know.
Because it was a story, situation. And the story would have ended way too fast. Yeah,
or he could have, I suppose, had inbound hand.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I don't recall the exact circumstance.
Yeah, but still.
It's been a while.
Well, for me, I don't think that the water hurt the Glenfiddich either. I was worried it would because of, because he was so much lighter.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I don't think it changed it all that much.
I don't think it improved it. But
No.
But
not improving something does not mean it's bad.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, it did not hurt it. It's pretty good.
It's hard to judge these things because, you know, if we had had the Glenfiddich all by itself, we would have said, ooh, how tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you have it up against two other really tasty things, it's like, I don't know.
It's mediocre.
Yeah, it's actually really good, but the other two are that much better.
Yeah,
it's drinkable.
To our opinion. You know, it's everyone has their own tastes, mm-hmm. and everyone experiences taste differently due to your taste buds are different. So you do you.
Some people might not like sherry.
Or scotch in general.
Or scotch in general.
We are compassionate toward those people.
Are we?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes.
But are we?
And Glenfiddich is actually also half the price.
I have one good friend whose favorite drink is coconut vodka, and it's like, I still love her dearly. So, there you go.
Yeah.
I think I would think about that.
No, she's lovely. You know, I just, you know.
Later you'll have to tell me who this is.
I will. I know. Okay, so here we are with the Edradour 12-year Caledonia with a little bit of water.
Still get the dark fruit sweetness.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Nose.
Yeah.
Just, I think it'd be hard to ruin
lovely.
This.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you put it in Coke.
Oh, God.
Then you'd have sherry Coke.
I gave a really nice Edradour to my nephew for Christmas one year. And when I saw him at Thanksgiving, he said, yeah, I had to hide that because otherwise, you know, his sons would come in and have a little of that and pour Coke in it.
Oh, like, no. Here's some Jack.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Really? No, that's good. I mean,
which is not saying that's a bad thing, but if that's the way you enjoy it, that's fine. But don't use the fancy single malts for that. That's wasteful, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the water bothered any of these. Mm-hmm. I don't think it improved them. I don't think it took away from them particularly. I'm really surprised that the Glenfiddich was able to stand up to the water.
Yeah.
Again, you know, we don't have much of it and we don't put much water in it, but it's still, I mean, we've done it before when it's like, whoa, that really watered it down.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
Yeah. Or changed it. You know, supposedly a little bit of water is that if you have a really dense, you know, tasting thing, a little bit of water is supposed to kind of open it up, you know, make it a little more aromatic, a little more palatable. For the most part, I have not found that to be true for me. Mm. I just like it the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most whiskeys I like are fine straight out of the bottle, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's actually usually the really higher, I mean, Edradour is probably the exception, because usually at that ABV I would want some ice in it.
Yeah.
You know, not water, but ice, to water it down a little. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't need it.
No,
It's smooth as is.
Yeah,
and
it is a welcoming presence in your life.
But I mean, and of course, the ones that are only 43%, I definitely don't think they need any water or ice.
Mm-hmm. One of the great sorrows of my life. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but still.
Where are you going with this one?
Wow. I know is that I was in Scotland last year, and in Pitlochry, where the Edradour distillery is located, and it was closed for visitors.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
There was great sadness on my part, but we went to the Blair Athol distillery, which was nearby, and that was lovely. And we went to the Edradour distillery, which also does Dewars, which is my favorite, you know, non fancy drink. And so, you know, there were many good scotches to be had. It was just
not Edradour.
Not Edradour. I know. It was sad. There was sadness there. But
well, actually, when to piggyback off of that, when I was looking up, like 2 minutes before we started this recording, the Edradour distillery, it said temporarily closed. And I I never saw.
Do you know where it is? Did you remember where it is?
I don't remember off the top of my head. No, but
somewhere in the Highlands.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, does yeah, that but that's
it for you?
From no. Pitlochry north, you know. So
yeah.
Well, let me.
Okay, she's going to look that up on the small computer she calls a phone.
Yeah.
Well, I can't, I'm not going to carry my laptop to your house.
I know. I know.
Which has far more power than the computer that landed on the moon.
I know. I know. It's like.
Yeah.
The Delmore Distillery is located in Alnest, Scotland, 20 miles north of Iverness.
Inverness.
Inverness.
Sorry.
Oh, it does have an N. Sorry. It is on my small, my
I know it's very tiny
small
print.
Computer. That's so that's why I said Iverness because I did not see the end. Apologies to all. Let's see. I don't think we need to know what banks it sits on, overlooking whatever. This doesn't. Here we'll do that.
She's doing phone things at the moment.
That's it, man.
I know.
We're looking things up.
I know. Oh, God. This was a really lovely batch of scotches to taste, though. I have to admit, I didn't dislike any of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my private taste buds take me to the Edredour, but it usually does take me to Edredour, so that's not a surprise. But the Dalmore was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
The Glenfiddich was lovely, just a kind of lighter and drier in tone. So, again, if you like dry sherry, that's a great thing to try.
Well, and it's priced to the point that you could afford to have it
plus
daily if you wanted.
Glenfiddich. It's reliable. Yeah. It's a wonderful space side. You know, don't dismiss any of these. They're all lovely.
I have the answer.
Okay.
It is closed due to extensive refurbishment and expansion, including the addition of a new twin still house and a new visitor center.
Ooh, cool.
The distillery is expected to reopen with a new visitor experience in 2026, but availability will be limited.
Oh, well.
Does that mean they're going to have more than three employees now?
Mm-hmm. No, that's Edredour.
Oh, Edredour.
And I don't know.
We were talking about...
I thought you were talking about Dalmore.
I was talking... No. Oh. No, Edredour is the one that has, like, three people.
Oh,
but I was talking about Dalmore.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you were talking about Dalmore. My apologies.
Yes.
Okay, I was confused.
And I don't know that that's true, the three thing. It's just I know somebody who went there and they said it only has
I think they aren't as small as they used to be, but they're still pretty small.
Yeah, so.
And they have worm tubs, which don't involve worms. I just want to make that clear.
It's a copper coil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's important. I was worried.
I like that the Google gave me instead. Do you want to search instead for why is the Salmore Distillery temporary closed? No, I guess that's what I actually typed. Actually, I said why bid the Salmore Distillery temporary closed.
Nice.
I love typing on a phone. It's always
it's still got.
Why is the Dalmore?
You really
that's because it. Daggone, I wanted to say a different word, listens to us all the time, and it, you know.
Oh, that's upsetting. Yeah.
Well, it does. It listens to us all the time, and you'll talk about something, and you open up your phone, and it has an ad for it.
It knows when you are sleeping. It knows when you're awake.
Oh, Santa.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, let's rate...
Yeah.
Gunshot or firework?
Yes. God knows.
One or the other.
It wasn't close either way. So
let's say what our favorites are from favorite to least favorite. In this case, the least favorite doesn't mean anything bad.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
in order of
this is a personal.
Fine. Correct me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go for it, John.
From least loved, which is still loved, to most loved, which is definitely loved, I'll go with the Glenfiddich, the Dalmore, and the Edredour.
Mm-hmm.
What? Wait. You went from what to what?
I went from the one that I love third.
Okay. The least.
List.
The least to the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. You did it backwards from what I would do. Okay.
Did I? Okay.
That's all right. No, don't.
So from most...
Don't.
No, stop. Stop. Just let Judy do her thing now.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes. It would be from least to Glenfiddich. And I'm really torn between the Dalmore and the Edredour Caledonia because I like them, I think, equally, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to say...
What are the different reasons? excuse the coughing.
I don't know.
Oh.
Mostly because my brain is dead.
Okay.
But again, yeah, this just has like the better mouthfeel. It just, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just, like you said, it's more complex.
Yeah.
But I just really like the flavor of the Delmar.
They were all tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little sweeter. And I, for some mm-hmm. reason, that appeals to me. I think it's the Pedro Ximénez that does the trick.
We're going to have to look for more of that.
We're going to have to look for more Pedro.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that is something, you know, and that's the fun thing about doing this podcast is that tasting things and learning about them leads you to other things.
Yeah.
So now I'm interested in trying other things with Mr. Pedro, you know, in there. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm going to say that it's tied for me with the Edgar Dauer, which of course, funny thing, they cost the same.
Yeah.
And they're too
amazing.
Expensive for
the
my
two
wallet.
Two most expensive things
to have very often. So this is going to be my, you know, like, I can have this on Saturday in one glass.
Uh-huh,
you know, that's it. You gotta, after that, it's monkey shoulder, right?
Right,
you
right.
know, which is quite a difference.
Flavor.
But yeah, that's mine.
Mm-hmm. And I think I would agree. I actually like the Glenfiddich very much. It was very tasty, and that kind of slightly astringent, you know, or lighter body is perfectly fine for most of the times that I want Scotch. It's an excellent entrance here.
Glenfiddich in general, just
and the Dalmore and the Caledonia. It is very even for me also, except I think I like the Caledonia a little better. The Dalmore has a little more of that tannin, or it's not tannins, that's wine, but it's a little more of that bitterness in it. And the Caledonia, even at, you know, 3% more ABV, has a slightly milder, not milder,
it's not milder, it's just
softer, oilier feel to it. So I think I would give the Edgar Dauer Caledonia my top rating, but the Dalmore is lovely, and the Glenfiddich is also lovely.
Yeah, they're all lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't saying that it wasn't.
Oh, no, I wasn't impressed. I wasn't.
Our preferences.
Yeah, but, you know, anytime you express a preference, it's like people think like, oh, well, she didn't like that. No, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. These were all lovely.
Yeah.
And it just depends on what you like, so.
Yeah, I like the fuller mouthfeel of Caledonia and a little bit more dark fruit than the others. That's what pushed it to number one for me. But I like them all, so they're all good.
I'm not willing to choose.
Okay, no,
they are
choosing between your two children. Or
yeah.
Something.
Well, yeah,
well,
I can understand that.
Just don't tell
that.
The one that you pick second. You know, you just don't tell.
I'll
them.
Just cover the Edgar Dauer's ears or something.
Yeah.
And say,
I like it. Yeah.
Not really. That's the thing. I don't really like the other one better, I can't choose between the two. It's too close for me to call.
But they're both lovely. They are all lovely, rich scotches. Mm. And do your own exploration, because this is fun.
And if you haven't tried, you know, any type of whiskey with, I don't know if other whiskeys do sherry cask. I'm sure they do.
They all do.
I haven't paid attention. But just, you know, give it. And if you don't know that you whether or not you like sherry, that's even better, because maybe you'll find out. Because I think now we need to do a sherry episode.
This was the sherry episode.
No, a sherry episode.
Oh, a sherry episode.
An actual
We should also do a brandy episode.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people talk to me about brandy. That would be fun. Okay, but that's in the future.
Okay. Future plans.
Yeah. I had a thought. Jeez, I hate it when I start a sentence and then it goes awry, so to speak. But
let me see if I can catch it.
It has escaped you too. Yeah, no. These are just all lovely, so do go out, explore sherry casks. Oh, I know. There are distilleries, the cask finishing thing is not a new thing, but...
In the whole history of whiskey.
Well, I know. These are all 12-year-olds old, so
it's
obviously it happened
common,
12 years ago at least. But that is a whole thing now with Scotch whiskey, especially. Not so much Japanese. I think they are trying to go for something more purely Japanese barley oak thing. But the Scots are going so that... There was one that we did not recently, but within the last year, where it was...
It was probably posted recently.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm a bit slow.
Yeah, but where they had, you know, we tasted one of their versions, but they had red wines from France, Spain, Portugal, South Africa, and they had white wines from Germany, all these casks, you know, so they had whiskey aging in all sorts of different wine casks, so that there is a variety of things out there. So, you know, if you think you've tasted one distiller, like, and I'm just making this up now, you know, like Glenallachie or something, and then you discover that they have, you know, 12 different, you know, tastings of, or 12 different versions based on what they've aged, what casks they've aged them in, you know, if it's a Spanish Tempranillo or a German Riesling or, you know, a French Bordeaux or whatever, it's like, go crazy. Okay, don't go crazy. That would be bad. But, you know, do invest in some of those things from a single distiller that are, you know, varietals, so that you can kind of identify what you like and, you know, what suits you best. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, well, that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening in to episode 69 of Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. And we hope that you find something that you enjoy, and do let us know. You can send us an email at funwithscotch@gmail.com. You can find our website at fwspc.com. And we're also available on Audioboom, which is where we post our podcast. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and we have our, yeah, never mind. What I was going to say makes no difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, go ahead and say it anyway then.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, have a nice evening, and y'all take care.